You drive through Sheridan this morning. The only way I'll ever go to Bauxite again is if they ask me to preach within the city limits. And if you say the right thing to the right people there, they may never let me, okay? It's good to be with you this morning. This is the fourth time I've been with you. First time back in October and then once in December and these first two Sundays of the new year. And I wished I could come back next Sunday, but Tuesday, if you have time to pray, I'll be at Saline Memorial Hospital. Dr. Scott Walsh, whom I met when he was playing junior high football at Malvern, I became his pastor, watched him grow up, did his wedding ceremony. But Dr. Scott Walsh with Arkansas Bone and Joint will give me some new knees Tuesday. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm to the point now where I'm hobbling around and I'm tired of hobbling. Now, if you ever see me running, it'll be because someone's chasing me, all right? I mean, I'm not going to start running or anything like that, but I would like to be able to walk a little bit better. A while ago, you heard the scripture from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Listen to it once again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Noticed several things about East End Church when I came here. One thing I noticed real quickly was the Roman road is always in the bulletin. And then last Sunday, as I tried to eat black-eyed peas with y'all and cornbread, I did eat a lot of cornbread and dessert. Ooh, that was really good, all right. I noticed in your Family Life Center, whatever you call that building, I'm a city boy. Is that here, there? Where is that building? This way, all right. That it's on the wall there, the Roman road. And so thinking about roads and trips and speeding tickets and knee surgeries and walking and this, that, and the other, I thought that it might just be a good time once again to visit the Roman road, because a lot of people get off the road too soon, all right? Now, you know why most people are late when they're going to a destination, don't you? It's because usually it's the man driving and he misses the exit off the freeway because his wife forgot to remind him to take it. Amen? Yeah, we'd agree with that, wouldn't we? I think even men and women, we all could agree with that. So this morning, as we think about our relationship with the Lord, and as we look at the Roman road, signposts are usually everywhere, you know. And I guess if truth be told, there was that little signpost as I entered Bauxite last Sunday morning that said, slow down to 40 miles an hour. And I just didn't see it or didn't pay attention to it. Probably didn't even notice it was there, because sometimes we get so used to things, don't we, that we forget to be aware and to be watchful. When we think about road trips, in the olden days, we got out the road map, tried to figure out how to get to where we were going. And now GPSs have come along, and the little lady, or I guess you can even set it to be a man and speak with any accent you want to, will tell you how to get there, where to turn, where to go. Except they're not always foolproof. A few years ago, I was in my life's journey. I've spent a lot of summers preaching to 4th, 5th, and 6th graders at children's church camps and teaching them mostly how to become and behave as the light of the world. Jesus said, well, you must be the light of the world. And real works really well with kids, but even with adults, when you look at secular or worldly stoplights and go lights and traffic signs and stop signs to remind us that God has made it clear what our path should be if we're going to follow Him. But I was going to a church camp up at Ozark. Do you know where Ozark is? All right. And I had GPSs were pretty new back then. Boy, I was really excited because I programmed that thing and I drove, and all of a sudden the pavement became gravel. The gravel became a rutted log road, and it ended at the river there. I think that's Mulberry River. I'm not sure what river that is. But you know what? The church camp was on the other side of the river. And I could see them. I could wave to them. They could yell at me. And 30 minutes later, I went back out and around and got the right way and wound up on the right side of the river. So GPSs aren't foolproof. Sometimes they need to be reprogrammed or fine-tuned a little bit. And when it comes to having a relationship with God, there's a very clear path that is outlined in Scripture. And yet so many people not only miss it, some people get off at the wrong place, or they don't stay on the road long enough. So this morning I want you to think about the Roman road. I'm sure you've heard it before. It's all over the place here. It's in the bulletin. It's down in the Family Life Center. But let's make sure that we're all on the road and that we're together walking hand in hand as we try to serve the Lord. Now, I don't know who first thought up the Roman road of Scripture, and that's just using Scriptures in the book of Romans to point us to God and how to walk with God, how to live with God, how to serve God. But it's been a tremendous witnessing tool for many years now. Just if all you got's the book of Romans, you're going to have enough in order to know what it means to be saved and to serve God. And I guess the Roman road also may have been named that because in Bible days, there was a very famous road called the Appian Way that led from Rome to just about everywhere else, or vice versa. Everywhere else, all the roads that existed ended at Rome, which was the center of the Roman Empire. And on that road, there were markers, just like we have today. You know, a road sign is not something new. They are centuries old to tell you where to go, how to get there, how close you are, how far away it is, this, that, and the other. And as it, you would like to think that what it means to have a relationship with God, to understand it is a simple thing. And it is a simple thing. It's just sometimes that people make it so complicated, they miss the most important message. If you're going to travel the Roman road through the book of Romans on how to serve God, I think that there's at least two important things to remember. And the first one is this. That road, if you let it, will lead you to salvation. There is that goal. God wants everyone to come to Him. There are markers on that road. For the sake of the sermon, the first marker that we might should note, and there's always different orders to the Roman road of Scriptures, but you know, use what works for you. But one of the first markers that I realized in my journey to know God is Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short or come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. Now, as we started in Romans 1 in the 16th and the 17th verse, Paul said very boldly and unashamedly, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. And it is written that the righteousness of God is revealed through faith, because it is written, the just shall live by faith. The thing that stops or prevents most people from serving God is that they've never seen that first marker, or if they have, they've chosen to ignore it. And that is Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin. What is sin? How do you define sin? You can make a list that you just keep on making lists of things that are wrong, things that are bad, things that are sinful. But everything you put on the list under sin, all of those acts, all of those feelings, all of those things have one thing in common, and it's selfishness. The desire to please self more than anything or anyone else. The greatest sin is selfishness. I spend a lot of time at church camps preaching to kids. Even a little child knows what it means to be selfish. You ever try to get them to share the candy bar? I love the old Little Rascals shorts. Am I too old to talk about Spanky and Alfalfa and all those guys? I love it. And in some of those, there's two brothers. I forget their names, but one's a little bit older than the other, and they always have a candy bar. And when it comes time to eat the candy bar, the older brother takes it out and opens it up, and he breaks it in two. And one piece is like that, and one piece is like that. And the little brother says, they're not even. And big brother takes a big hunk out of that big piece, and they're both like that. He says, now they are. Now they are. You know, it's a faulty logic, but that's how some people approach God, through selfishness. The greatest sin is selfishness. The murderer kills because he's selfish. The thief steals because he's selfish. The person who's never made a commitment to Christ doesn't do it because they're selfish. They don't want to share their lives with God and with what the Scripture demands from us if we choose to do so. So the world can argue about many things, and there are some terrible sins in the world. Make the list. But the greatest sin of all is selfishness, as it manifests itself in the most seemingly simple form of not sharing a candy bar the right way, or the most deadly form in not sharing your life with God. If you travel along in life long enough, and the wonderful thing about this journey, it can begin as a young child. What amazes me is, you know, we have, most people my age have grandchildren getting married. Our oldest grandchild just turned 8 years old. And then we've got one that's 5 and one 3 and one that's 10 months old now. And you know what? It's been a lot of fun, but it would have been a lot easier 20 years ago when people my age were having their grandchildren instead of waiting as long as we did. But that's just how life dealt us. But what amazes me about those little children, that 3-year-old little girl can take the smartphone and she knows what to punch to get to where she wants to go. All she has to ask is, what's the code? Because she can't remember what, you know, get into the phone. But the 5-year-old, he doesn't have to ask for the code. He knows what that is. And they go play those little games and that stuff about this, that, and the other. When it comes to walking with God or beginning a relationship with God, there's no certain age. You know, we Baptists tend to talk about the age of accountability. Well, what is that? I don't know what that is other than this. It's when a person comes to the point where they realize that their life is lacking something and that they need to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. So that would bring me to the second marker on this Roman road. Hopefully, you've seen that marker that says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I've never met a person that claims to be perfect, but some sort of live like they think they might be. No one's perfect. And when you admit that there's something lacking in your life, the second marker on the road, clear as a speed sign or a welcome to whatever sign, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. That's pretty clear. What is a wage? It's what you earn, what you deserve. Right? That's what a wage is. An honest day's work for an honest day's wage. It goes hand in hand. The Bible clearly says we're all sinners. No one's perfect. And there's a cost to the sin problem, and that's death. The first part of that verse is sobering. That first part of that verse seems to have no hope. The wages of sin is death. But the last part of the verse, don't ever quote the first without the last, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Roman road, it leads somewhere. And the first place it leads to is to help you know what salvation truly is. You must first of all admit that you're a sinner. You're not perfect. You must see that the greatest sin of all, whether you're a model number one citizen or you're the lowly criminal in the county jail or the state prison, all people have the same problem of sin, selfishness. And because of that great problem of sin, there is a cost, there is a price that has to be paid, and that price is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank be to God, Paul also said elsewhere, for this gift. God has a wonderful gift, and the greatest gift, just as the greatest sin is selfishness, the greatest gift is salvation. We can be forgiven. We can be placed into God's family, and it's not hard to figure out. It's not like getting out a road map that the print's that small, and even with the best glasses, you can't see. It's not like some GPS system that leads you to the wrong place or you can't figure out how to operate to start with. It's not this, that, or other. But there are some people that approach the relationship with God the same way. They want to complicate it. They want to make it this, that, and the other, or minus this, or plus that. The Bible is very clear that the greatest gift is salvation, and it's through Jesus Christ our Lord and through Him only. So as you travel down this road, you may not realize it, but every now and then the light bulbs go on. For me, the light bulbs didn't start going on until I was about 15 years old when I really began to attend church as a teenager. It took me a while, but I figured out that, hey, you know what? I know what sin is now. And if everybody's guilty of sin and sin has a price, then someone had to pay it. Then the light bulb went on with that second marker that, yes, sin is powerful and sin is terrible, but there's a great gift that God wants everybody to have, and that's salvation. Third marker is this, and a lot of people miss this life. They pass right by this as life, as they journey through life. The third marker is in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. And then verse 13, right after that, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, the greatest sin, the Bible clearly points it out, the greatest sin is selfishness. If you've never made the decision to share your life with Jesus, you're as guilty of sin as the most vile sinner that's ever been on the face of this earth. The second marker is that, yes, the greatest sin is selfishness, but the greatest gift is salvation, and it's free. God wants everyone to experience it. And there's only one condition, and that is you must believe that salvation comes through Jesus Christ, Christ alone, and you must accept the gift. Now, gifts are wonderful things to give. You know, one of the greatest gift givers I know is our daughter, our oldest child. And I would tell you how old she is, but this is on Facebook in it, so I won't mention that. But she's grown up, all right? She's grown married and got a family. She loves to give gifts. You know, she loves to. Now, she's a very frugal young lady. You know, she saves her money, manages it wisely. But when it comes to giving a gift, she'll spare no expense because she gives gifts to people that she loves. So that always amazes me that she, how much she'll spend on a gift for something. Listen, gifts are wonderful to give, but they're also wonderful to receive. To receive a gift and to receive it graciously. God has the greatest gift of all, and it cost him dearly, but he was willing to pay the price through the giving of his son who died on the cross for us. And that gift is extended to every person. The Bible says in Paul's culture, the Jew and the Greek, that just means everybody, not just a certain few, not just a special group, but to everyone this gift is offered. And all you need to do is to call upon the name of the Lord. By the Lord, that means Jesus Christ. And confess him. Ask him, let him be your Savior. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. But also then promise to let him be your Lord. And that's the boss of your life. Now, if I could characterize the greatest sin as selfishness and the greatest gift as salvation, how would I characterize this great gift that we give back to God? It's a word sometimes that gets shortchanged and knocked around, but it's sincerity. Sincerity. Whoever believes in his heart or her heart, sincerity. Some people let the devil and their self plague them all their life. Am I saved or am I not saved? It's a no-brainer, folks. It's a no-brainer. You're either saved or you're not. People might say, well, I don't know if I meant that prayer when I said it. Well, then say it right now and mean it, okay? If that's going to give you peace, let's do it. Let's get that settled. Well, I'm not sure this, that, and the other. The devil's got you where he wants you if you spend your life doubting whether or not you're saved. Oh, I've never doubted whether I was saved. I've doubted a lot of things in my life, but never whether I was saved. Because I had a church, got in it late as a teenager, and I had a pastor, and I had Sunday school teachers that instilled in me that God is true to his word. And if you called on his name, it doesn't matter if you were 5 or 15 or 25 or 74 or 102, God saved you. So don't let doubt rob you of joy. Either you are or you're not. Sincerity. Did you ask God to save you? Well, I don't know if I meant it. Did you ask him? Yes. Well, I tell you, God meant it what he said he would save you. So let's settle that doubt. Either have assurance in that experience long ago, or if you can't find it there, get it right now today, because you only have to get saved one time. One time. One time. Okay, one time on the journey. Okay, now I've been to Bauxite, so I don't need to go back, all right? I've been there one time, all right? I've been there. But there are some places I've been to that I want to go back, all right? That I want to go back. My home church, the building doesn't exist anymore. They built a new one. They tore the old one down. But, you know, I can go stand in the parking lot and say, yep, this is about where it was when I got saved. You know, and I like to go to places I've served a lot of preachers bounce around through their life. But listen, I only served 4 churches, well, really 3 full-time. 10 years at First Baptist Church of Murfreesboro, 10 years at the Third Baptist Church of Malvern, 10 years at the First Baptist Church of England, Arkansas. And we've been now in Arkadelphia 11 years, and I've just been preaching all over the place. But you know what? I like to go back and visit places where God was good to us and go down memory lane, go down that road inside my mind, in my soul. And if you've been on the Roman road, you can do that. In fact, I would suggest every day that you spend a little bit of time reflecting on when you started your journey with God. Now, if you can't remember the date or the place or the time on the clock, that's okay. You can't. Maybe you were a kid. Maybe you were a teenager. Maybe you were an adult. That's okay. You don't have to remember all the details. All you have to take assurance is, I asked God to save me. God said he would, and I am. But you know what? This is the place where a whole lot of people get off the road. They get saved. I say a whole lot. Bible says not a whole lot. But there are some people that get this far down the road, and some do get saved. But then they get off the road. And you know what? Getting saved is not the end goal. Getting saved is the beginning. It's the commencement of a life in Christ. You know, when we graduate from schools, we call it commencement. That word doesn't mean, oh, I'm so glad high school's over. That word means now life starts. Commence the next chapter to begin anew. Why is it that we have so many people that claim to be saved, but they're not walking with God? They're not serving Him in the church. It's because they've taken the exit. They got off long enough to get saved, but they never got back to walking down the road with God. As there are three things, in my understanding, on the Roman road about salvation, there are three things that we need to appreciate about the culmination of the walk. The goal. I guess it's 2 years ago now that I started walking every day. We were in Minnesota with our daughter and her husband and their boy. He's now 8. And among other things, he's a very active little boy and wanted to play, in the floor. Well, it took me a long time to get down in the floor, and that's when my knees didn't hurt, to get down in the floor and to almost never to get up. And so I decided if I was going to stick around and see this little boy grow up, I needed at least be able to get down out of the floor. So I started walking. And at first, it was hard. You get winded, you get tired, all that. But I was diligent. I kept on walking. I was walking 4 miles a day. That's 10,000 steps. Feeling pretty good, lost some weight, and then somewhere along the line, the knees started giving me problems and aching a little bit. And now it's time to get some new knees. And I've missed walking. I haven't walked much in the last month and a half because I can't do it now. I miss that walk. Because when I would get out, usually I'd walk by myself. And if the weather was pretty, I'd walk down Feaster Trail in Arkadelphia. If the weather got bad, I'd walk lap after lap after lap in Walmart at Arkadelphia. I was determined. I'd lost some weight, and I was feeling better, and I was going to stay that way. Well, I'm looking forward, hopefully, that the new knees will work, and I can get out and walk again and lose a little bit more weight. And I'm, like I said, I'll never run. Don't really want to run, but I would like to be able to keep up sort of with the grandkids, at least better than I'm doing now. So what's the point of that illustration? Life's a journey. Saturday, I'm going to turn 70. Now, listen, folks, it did not bother me to turn 40 or 50 or 60, but 70, I kind of look at it, whoa, what's next? What's next at 70? And someone wise person said, well, you must look at it this way. You get to turn 70. You get to turn 70. You get to spend more time here. Why don't people in their walk with God want to spend more time with God and His people? Why? It's sort of the other side of the coin. There's a fourth marker in my understanding on the Roman road, and it's in Romans chapter 8. And it's the last part of the first verse. The last part of Romans 8:1 says this, "Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Some of the Romans had a terrible problem of walking in the flesh, living sinful lives, enjoying the sin more than the Savior, and they got comfortable in it. Oh, what a terrible thing to do. But there are so... Only two people know whether or not you're saved. You're one of them and God's the other one. I don't know. You can put on a pretense. I could put on a pretense. We could do this, that, and the other. Only God knows whether or not you've been redeemed. You've got to settle that with God. But then if you have been redeemed, if you don't live for Him, it not only becomes very apparent to God, it becomes very apparent to the people around and about you. And listen, the greatest sin for the Christian is almost the same as the unbeliever, and that's selfishness. Oh, you've agreed to share your life with Jesus, but now you're not doing it. You're not doing it. You're not doing it. And the answer is simple there. You just got to do it. I'm of the age where, you remember the old show Hee Haw with Roy Clark? And Roy would go to the doctor. I think Archie Goodwin, maybe that was his name, was the doctor. And Roy would, they'd show it at least once every episode. Roy would say, "Doc, it hurts when I do this." And the doctor would hit him with a rubber chicken and say, "Well, then don't do it. Then don't do it." There are some things as Christians that we cannot do. They're selfish things. We might enjoy them. We might get some kind of worldly pleasure out of it. but it's going to harm your walk with God. And if you're not careful, you're going to sit down and you're going to lay down or whatever you want to do in sin and wallow in it for a while instead of being the spiritual person God wants you to be. And that brings not only shame to the individual, it brings shame to God, it brings shame to God's people. Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Sometimes it's hard to stay on the road. Sometimes it's hard to stay on the path. Temptation is great. People let us down. Forces beyond our control begin to battle us. But we must remain faithful. Because if you do, if you walk according to the Spirit, pretty soon you're going to see another signpost on that road. It's in Romans 6, chapter 1 and verse 2. What shall we say? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. I think the old King James says, God forbid. How shall we who died in sin live any longer in it? Crystal clear question there. How can you claim to be a Christian and not live for Christ? It's impossible. It's impossible. Somebody, more than one person, has said to me over the course of my ministry, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, you don't. But if you're able-bodied, you're able. You cannot be the kind of Christian God wants you to be unless you go to church. Get with God's people. Work together with God's people to worship Him and to proclaim the message. You know, sitting in church won't make you any more Christian if you just sit there, as sitting in your car will make you an automobile. It won't work. You know, you got to do something about it. And the Christian is to be not only sitting in the church, worshiping, but also serving in the church, doing something. Don't ever say, all I can do is sit on a pew. You can do something. We can all do that, all right? We can all sit on the pew. But God has a place for you to serve no matter who you are, how young you are, how old you are, whatever your station of life you're in, wherever you're at on the road, God has a commission for you. And that greatest gift is simply service. We can give God many things, but the thing I think He really wants to hear most from us is, God, here am I, send me. What do you want me to do? Christmas season has just ended. One of my favorite things hangs on the wall at Christmas time every year, and I always forget it, but what can I give Him? Poor as I am, if I were a shepherd, I would give Him a lamb. What can I give Him? As young as I am, I'll do my part, I'll give Him my heart. And it's a little shepherd boy on there that says that. You don't have to be a rich person to please God. You know, oh, if you are, share it with God. I'm sure He's going to like that. But all of us can give the greatest gift of all, and that's our willingness to serve Him, to serve Him. One last marker on this road, as far as I understand it. I like Romans chapter 8 and the first part of that first verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But we need to add the last part of that verse again. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Jesus Himself very clearly said, there's two ways to go when it comes time to travel through life. Proverbs 14:12 says, before every man there lies a wide and pleasant road that seems right but ends in death. Jesus clarified it in Matthew 7 when He said this in verses 13 and 14. Heaven can be entered only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad. Its gate is wide enough for all the multitudes who choose its easy way. But the gateway to life is small and the road is narrow, and only a few ever find it. Now, what does that mean? Some people want to take that verse and say, well, you got to do certain good works. You got to go to a certain kind of church. You got to do a certain thing, ritual in Christianity. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that once you get on the road, you stay on the narrow road. And the only way to get on the road is to confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It's not complicated. It's easy. It's simple. Jesus said, that's why He said, you must have the faith like a little child. You know, little children haven't lived long enough to complicate it. I think sometimes the longer a person waits to get saved, the harder it is for them to get saved because they start complicating it, making it something that it's not in Scripture. I guess I watch too much TV and movies, but I love the episode of The Twilight Zone. You remember the old Twilight Zone? And Arthur Honeycutt, who was born and raised in Arkansas, somewhere in north central Arkansas, an actor. He's dead now, been dead for years. He's probably in most every Western ever made. He's the old man. He was always an old man in the Western. Speaks real countryfied. Arthur Honeycutt. He's the star of this episode. And it's taking place, I guess, in the Ozarks. You know, there's a cabin. There's the woods there. And as it begins, you know, Arthur Honeycutt's just kind of there, you know, doing something around the cabin and all. And then it becomes pretty evident that Arthur Honeycutt died the day before. And these people start coming to the house. You know, they used to bring the body to the house there like they did in old times. And Arthur Honeycutt can't figure this out. And so he's trying to, and then suddenly somebody shows up, and it's time to go. So Arthur Honeycutt starts walking up the road. All right. Now, this is not real biblical, but it illustrates the point, I think. He's walking up the road, and all of a sudden he sees somebody who stops and greets him. And he says, well, come on in. Come on in here. He said, everything here is food and you know, everything you want and this, that, and the other. And Arthur Honeycutt says, well, that sounds good. And he says, come on, Dan. That's his hound dog. And the guy said, oh, no. Dogs aren't allowed in here. And the old man says, well, I'm not going in if my dog can't. And he walks on down the road a little bit farther. And then another guy greets him, and he says, we knew you were coming. It's good to see you. And he says, can I take my dog in there with me? And he says, well, sure. He said, it wouldn't be heaven if you didn't have your dog with you. Now, I don't know if there are dogs in heaven. I kind of think that heaven is whatever makes you happy, especially when God recreates everything. You know, right now, heaven's spiritual, except for the presence of Jesus, who's physical. Boy, try to figure that one out, and you're just going round and round. Believers, when they die, the soul, the spirit goes into... In fact, I think the believers of all the ages are worshiping with us right now. I believe they are. But as great as heaven is right now, one day it's going to even be better when God remakes the new heaven and the new earth. And read the book Heaven by Randy Alcorn. I kind of like what that says. It's a big book. But what is heaven? Well, the ultimate goal, yes, is to get to heaven. But if you're saved, you know you're going. So why didn't God just take us on right now? Because he wants us to serve him. And most importantly, he wants us to invite others to go with us and to be with him. And heaven is a wonderful place. This earth can be a place that's wonderful when we really believe that there's no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ. That assurance can carry us through the darkest hour, the deepest pain, the greatest suffering. But also knowing that one day we'll be in that place where there is no pain, there is no suffering, there is no sorrow. And, you know, I hope that I know I'm going, and I hope to see you there. So the question this morning, I always try to end with just one question, is this. Which road are you on this morning? Are you on the road? Have you been on the road long enough to realize you're a sinner, but you've never been saved? Well, you need to be saved. You can do that right now. If you are a Christian, and maybe you've gotten off on the wrong exit, oh, you got saved, but this sin along, this came along, this temptation came along, and you faltered, and you are not being faithful and true to the Lord. Well, it's time to get back up, get out of that sin, and get back on the road and walk and be faithful to Him. Because the greatest praise in the world that any person could offer to God. To get saved, you need sincerity. But to truly praise God, you need to feel the deepest peace of all. And we sang about it this morning, especially in that song, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy are my soul like the sea billows roll. The greatest praise for the believer is the security to be able to say, I know I've been saved. Christ is my Savior. And each day I'm trying to honor that commitment to let Him be the Lord of my life and follow Him and the standards that He has set down. The Roman road is a road to redemption. You stay on it, it won't lead you to a place that you don't want to go. It won't lead you to the wrong side of the river. It won't lead you to places that are terrible and awful. It won't lead you to places that are desolate and lonely. Here on this earth, it will lead you to God's people, can help you, pray for you, work with you, support you. You can be one of them and do the same thing. Ultimately, it's going to lead you to heaven when your time on this earth is over and you get there. Stay faithful. That's what He wants us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that You have invited us to come on the journey with You. I thank You that many years ago as a teenager that I confessed You as Lord, as Savior. And I thank You that each day I'm trying to allow You to be the Lord of my life, following You. I appreciate the commencement of that journey when it began, and I look forward to the culmination of the journey as I live now through faith and by faith. Keep me faithful. Help me to seek places to serve, and help me to praise You and to share with others the great security that I feel in You. If someone needs to get on the road this morning, I pray they'll come. Someone who needs to be saved, maybe someone who's a believer that needs to rededicate his or her life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand and sing our hymn, and I'll be down front if you need to speak to a preacher.